my whole life. He's been in my life since before I was formed in my mother's womb. So sometimes I'll just sit back. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll sit back and I'll think of things. Like, you know, I hear everybody saying how hot it is and this and that. And my wife goes, hey, do you have your, you know, your sweat rag, which I do, you know. But the funny thing is really not many people know it. I'm not proud of it. But I was in a band for many years. And up there being a singer, it's probably be 60 degrees hotter on stage because of the stage lights than what's in this room today. I mean, it's burning. I would lose between 5 and 8 pounds in doing a show for an hour. I mean, I would just drop weight pretty quickly. And so the heat up here really is nothing to me. I'm really comfortable. I'm not sweating a drop. I'm all right. I mean, I like the heat anyway. But then I see the Lord brings one of the correction officers who was in my prison, brings him to live on the same property I live in. Then last week I made friends with an undercover detective who works in the gang unit. Then I go, because I'm going to get the spine stimulator, we're thinking about it, I have to go see a psychiatrist. So I go visit the psychiatrist, and it's a very psychiatrist that told me that there is no hope for me. I gave him an hour and a half testimony. He said, you're an amazing man with an amazing story. He said, you made my day. He goes, no, scratch that. He goes, you made my whole week. You know what he saw? He saw that the God of hope lives inside of Dale Moore. That's what he saw. He asked me over and over again, repeatedly, what church I went to. What church you go to? What church? What church? I said, I'm a preacher there. I teach Sunday school. And so, wow, what church? What church? And I just can't tell him. I had all the confidence in the world that the Lord had opened that door. He's supposed to be asking me psych questions. I'm giving him my testimony. And he goes, I remember you. I said, yeah. I said, we'll see you in Holy Land. He goes, I remember that. Because I knew your face looked familiar. And so I'm just saying, God is he's a good God. I mean, he's the one that will put you out there in front of people that used to be my enemies, and he's made friends of them. He's made some enemies of mine. I would have never been friends with a police officer. I would have never been friends with a correction officer. I wasn't friends with a psychiatrist. They really disliked me. I mean, you want to know somebody? They really hated me when I went to see them. And the Lord has made friends out of my enemies. And I'm just saying, he's good like that. And I thank God for what he's doing. Like Pastor said, for the next 3 weeks after today, we won't be here. And, you know, Lord just opened doors in places that I'm not out looking around. You know, I'm comfortable doing what I do here. I get to learn while I'm here. I'm afraid to go out there. Because I know there's a lot of diseases that has infiltrated the churches out there. And boy, wouldn't you believe I was going to keep my mouth closed on this. But I'm going to say it. There's something I have to say. I've been fighting in that chair. While you guys are saying, I've been fighting. Do I say it? Do I not? Do I yes or no? And here it comes. I'm just going to say it. It's like this. There's some diseases that are pretty rampant in the Baptist churches today. The easy believism, the pray this prayer with me, and all that baloney. But there's another one. And it's called compromise. The people of the Baptist churches today, I've traveled around and I see with my own eyes, and I think it's just as important to God that people have their eyes open to the compromise of what's going on. Here you're trying to lead somebody to the Lord and you're giving them an example of your compromise. What do I mean by that? Lo and behold, we're coming back from McDonald's. Ask my wife. I just started leaning over, going through my Bible. Bang, bang, bang. The Lord just started hitting me with these verses. How many believe that God is all-powerful and can do anything? I say pretty much all of us in this room believe that he can do it. He's God. He's all-powerful. Then one must believe that he can give us a perfect Bible. We have to believe that. If God is all-powerful, he knows where every atom is and every neutron, everything's in place, is doing exactly what he knows it all, then you must believe that he can give us a perfect Bible. You must have that in your heart. If you don't have that in your heart, then you need to get right with God. You must believe that he can give us a perfect word. That it's not a hard thing for God to save somebody and to say, okay, I want you to live the way you're supposed to live and have no way to live that way. He gave us the word. You know, many times we wish, right, Tanya, that our kids came with the instruction manuals for each individual kid because they had to be handled differently. Yeah. God gave us an instruction manual to the new person, to the new creature, to the one he saved. He gave us an instruction manual. So we must believe that he can give us the perfect word. Then one must believe that the word of God applies to us in churches today. So many people call it old-time religion, but I'm telling you, it's the only thing that's going to last. It's the only thing that's going to stand up to this test of time, and that's the King James Bible. There are so many people that I hear out there who say, oh, I believe the King James Bible, but they pick and choose, slice and dice, whatever. And they throw it out, take it out of context, twist it, pervert it, step on it, whatever. Use it for bookshelf markers, whatever you want to say. That's what they do. They're King James Bible believers. With what the Lord has been teaching me, I told my Sunday school class today, and there are some things that I learn out of other books. Believe me, there is. But I'd rather defend the King James Bible as what God teaches me out of His Word. I'd rather stand up here and be able to teach somebody something out of His Word than some man teach me, than some other book teach me. Why? Because then I know I'm getting it directly from God. And I'm not saying anything against our pastors in that. I'm just saying, we all trust our pastor to know his Bible. We all know he knows it pretty well. But do you ever go in your heart sometimes and go, gosh, I wonder if that's really right? Do you know God put that question in your heart?
That's right. Come on.
When I'm up here saying something, I'm McVeigh, and God ever put a question in your heart, do you know God wants you to go search that?
That's right. Yes, sir.
No matter who's standing up here?
That's right.
Hey, we know God put our pastor here. We know the men that he's bringing us here. But when that question pops up in your heart, you should be going to search that thing out. So we must believe that God gave us a perfect word and that it applies to our life today. If one believes this, then one must take heed to these verses that I'm going to read. You have to. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Now, I had none of this planned out. This is something the Lord just put on my heart. I don't know why it's here. I'm going to say it. Please don't be angry with me. If you get angry with God, because I'm just going to preach His Word. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to be faithful, and I'd rather have you angry with me than have God angry with me.
Yes.
I sat in that chair, and I wrestled with this very thing that I'm about to say. But I believe I'm going to be obedient to God. I don't believe I'm going to overstep any grounds. If I do, Pastor, correct me. The Lord will correct me. Believe that. Huh? Matthew 10? Matthew 10. We're going to go to verse 37. Matthew 10, 37 through 40. You see, I got this written just like this. That's all I have written. Look, I'm just telling you, the Lord gave this to me on the way back from lunch. Matthew 10, verse 37 through 40. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth him that sent me. What is to be number one in your life from that verse? God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Not your family. Not your children. God is supposed to. He says, if he's not number one in your life, then you've got it wrong. You're not doing it right. And then what's he say? In the next verse he says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. You think you have life? You're about to lose it. Because Jesus Christ is telling you to give up your life for him. Give up your desires. Give up your family. Put him in first place, and he'll take care of the rest. If we can't get that order right, listen, that's a disease that's rampant in our churches today. It's called compromise. Here's one of the compromises. Number two, let's just go on. Self and family must come in second place to God. That's his word. His word said it, not me. Number two, Hebrews 10:25. You probably often quote it. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You see that word is? That means it's happening now. That means it was happening when Paul wrote it. That means it's going to happen in the future. He knew this was going to happen as some is. They're forsaking the assembling. But exhorting one another so much more as ye see the day approaching. He's saying, listen, it's even more important now that the day's getting closer. Jesus Christ is closer to coming today than he was yesterday. Shouldn't that put us in church? And I understand, listen, we travel, we go to church when we travel. Miss Pam Wolfram has to take care of a sickly father. I understand this upset, and I believe God sees those exceptions. I do.
That's right.
But when you're healthy and you can't come down, listen, I told somebody just this week, I said there's 7 days in a week. God asks for two. There's 168 hours in a week. God asks for 4 or 5 in your time. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse you for the one who died on the cross for you. That's a disease that's running rampant in our churches today, that the compromise of a family, the compromise of not being here when you're supposed to. I'm just telling you what I see. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. I'm not telling you what I think or what I say. I'm bringing it to you straight from Scripture. If you got a problem with it, you pray to God and you get it settled then.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you what, these are the things here. These are the things here that Dale Moore establishes his family on. Am I lying? No, I establish my family on these things. Am I perfect? No, I make mistakes. A few weeks ago, I made a horrible, horrible mistake. And I paid a horrible price for it, but I got it right.
Amen.
I got it right.
I like it.
The Lord, I mean, absolutely kicked me in the head. I mean, beat me. I mean, straight up beat me until I got that thing right. And I got it right. I thank God for getting it right for me.
Amen.
I thank God for Him showing my stupidity to me, for showing my foolishness to me. I had to see it. Hey, but did you think I ran from it or did I go face it? I didn't run from it. I faced exactly what God showed me about myself. And I felt, I mean, I was just humiliated. I felt poor, I mean, embarrassed, shameful. My goodness about me. 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's go there. I'm just telling you what's rampant in the churches today, why there's no victory, why people aren't getting saved, because they're watching our compromise. Why, you know, how can we want somebody to get saved? And I'm talking about all the Baptist churches in America, we want somebody to get saved, but yet we'll compromise. On these very, and this is only 4 or 5 things that I'm pointing out. I'm sure there's much more. 2 Timothy 2:15. Lord help me. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We all just sat here and agreed that God is almighty, that there's nothing He can't do. We all agree that He can give us a perfect word. We all agree that this is the word that He's given us today, but yet we pick and choose what we want to believe. This says study to show yourself approved unto God. How many of you are studying your Bible and reading on a daily basis? Let's just be honest. The Word says study to show yourself proven unto God. Not for pastor, not for me, not for anybody sitting in this church. It says study to show yourself proven unto God. Him. You're doing it for Him. Why? Because you're going to reap the benefits. I'm telling you now, my wife and kids will vow that when I'm right with the Lord, they get the benefits.
Amen.
I know it's so hard, you know, put things in order. Do you know God set an order in the Bible for us to live by for a reason? There's a reason why it's done that way. There's a reason why it's written the way it's written. And I'm just telling you, when you get on track and you get that in your life, I'm just telling you now, things will flow like never before. You know, we don't do things on Sunday with family. They know not to even call us. Yesterday, we went to Amy's family's, okay, because we haven't seen her dad. She got a sick stepmother who's got cancer and all that stage 4. We went there, and you know what? We were able to testify and witness to those people all day.
Amen.
My father-in-law says he's the preacher's boy. He's a licensed preacher now. He brags on me.
I like it.
Because there's things in order. There's things that God wants us to put in our life. There's things that God wants us to put in our life. I could never go meet that correction officer if I didn't have things right in my life. I could never go face that psychiatrist if I didn't have things right in my life. I could never go and make friends with an undercover cop in the gang unit if I wasn't getting things right in my life. Now here, don't quote me as saying I'm perfect, because I'm not. I make more mistakes, like I just said. I told you about a big mistake I made. But I don't stay there. I don't stay there. I don't compromise and say, you know what, I'll take care of it another time. No, we're going to handle this thing now. We're going to get this right now. But it says study to show yourself proven unto the Lord. Study to show yourself proven unto God. He wants to see how serious you are with Him. You ever realize that? God wants to see how serious you are willing to get with Him. I hear many people all the time say, yeah, I want to be serious with the Lord and this and that. No, you don't. Because you can't even get past that verse right there. Don't tell me.
Right.
I'm just saying. It's a poison that's running rampant in our churches today, and we're wondering why the pews are empty. Because of our own compromise. Ours. I say ours because I even do the same. I get messed up myself. I blew out of here a couple Sundays ago and was an idiot about it. Now, I paid a price for that. But you know what? I was able to man up and pay that price.
Amen.
But you know what? I got it right. Why? Because I don't want to stay that way.
Amen.
I want to show God that I'm serious about this thing. I'm not just some fly-by-night. I want to be serious about this. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to serve Him. I want to study His Bible. I want Him to teach me. I'm serious when I tell you this stuff. It's a seriousness that's in my heart. I take this very serious. When I hear the elders and Jim and all that, they talk to me and teach me things. I take that to heart. I do. Because I can't learn any other way. And I thank God that we have men in here that are men that can teach me. And you know what? We can pass it down to Joshua and Caleb and Luke and Zane and Trevor. We can teach them how to run the house of God. You know, run it in decency and order. How do we know that one of these guys aren't going to be a bishop one day and the Lord requires of them to have their house in order? That's what it says to be a bishop, doesn't it?
No.
That their house has got to be in order. How can we? He says, if you can't have your own house in order, how can you have the house of God in order? And I just paraphrased that, okay? But you see what I mean? So it's important that these guys see now how we're not going to compromise, how we're going to build this thing the way God tells us in His Word. Why? Because it's important for these young ladies and young men to see that. I can almost beg people to please reconsider some things. Get along with God and see what He has to say.
Amen.
Because I promise you, it has not hurt our family one iota. Matter of fact, it's opened more doors than I could have ever thought possible, and I did not even go out there and ask for
them. Amen.
Get some things in order. Then I have one more. I'm going to move on to John. James 1. Verse 22 through 25. Now we all agree this is the Word of God. We all agree He gave it to us. It's His Bible. So He tells us this: be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only. Why? Because you're deceiving your own selves. If you're not doing what this Bible says, you are deceiving yourself. You really think you're something that you're not. God's not being deceived by not doing. He wrote it. He gave it to you to do it. But you are the one being deceived. You are the one thinking you're okay in your position. And I'm talking to every, that's why I'm recording this, because I'm talking to every Baptist church that's in America.
Amen.
You're deceiving yourselves. Deceiving yourselves, what the Bible says. Not Dale Lord. I came to you with these verses out of a Bible, out of a King James Bible, that we all in this room supposedly believe. If we believe it, then don't you think, what it says here, let me go ahead and read it. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, that's most of the reason why people don't want a King James Bible. Because it will tell them that you're doing wrong.
Okay.
It'll let them know you're doing the wrong thing. Hey, I'm just telling you now, if I can get this message out to people, it will prick their hearts that they're doing wrong. Why? Because His Word says it won't return void. That's His Word. It's His Word. It's His job. He just called me up here to preach it. To give it out. And I wrestled with the very thing. Should I? No, yeah, it just wouldn't leave my... I couldn't get it out. I couldn't shake it. I said, I'm just going to say it. And whatever happens, happens. Why? Because I'm any better than anybody else? God forbid. Don't ever think that about me. I'm in a whole lot worse position than you are. You know why? Because God's always laying the boots to me. He's got to keep me where I need to be, where I would be under Him and listen to Him. And I mean, absolutely 100%. I pulled my family together today. This morning I said, the Morey family is getting out of whack. It's time to get this thing back in order. I finally caught us getting out of control. I finally caught us swerving where we weren't supposed to. I said, now let's go get it right then. Start today, get this thing back and get it right again. Why? Because the Lord lays the boots to me, man. He don't let me get away with that stuff alone. Am I thankful? I am so thankful. Why? Because they get the benefits of a dad and a husband that loves them. God gets somebody that He can put out there. My friends are my friends. I see my mistakes more clearly when I'm listening to what God would have me to do. And so, no, I don't fight it. I like to fight it. It's fun to fight it. But let me just finish reading what it says. It says, but looketh into the perfect law of liberty, verse 25, and continueth therein. He's saying, look at it. Look, you have freedom in this. You have freedom in Jesus Christ. Look at it. You have freedom there. God can set you free from that very man that you keep running from. God can set you free if you'll just take a look at it. The perfect law of liberty. He'll set you free if you'll just look at what he's trying to show you there. Do you know, God strives. He said, let's reason together. He strives with man. He's down there and he's saying, please just listen to what I'm trying to show you. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. It's just how he wants people to understand. I'm just doing, you know why? You know what God's motive is? Love.
Amen. That's a good one.
I get a little choked up. I told my wife this. I think it was yesterday on the way to her dad's. We were listening to some Christian music going down to her dad's house. I said, Jesus Christ gave up everything. Came down in the flesh. Came down, pulled his hair out, made fun of him, mocked him, spit on him, kicked a crown of thorns on his head. Then they nailed him to a cross. He closed his eyes. He opened them back up. You know what his reward was? Me. How good would I be your reward? Are you willing to go through what he did for me? I was his reward. I was something he got. He knew that one day that Dale Morey was going to call on him and I'd be his son.
Amen.
Yeah, I know that may not bother many people, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful that, you know what, my Father's in heaven. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's my Father. I'm his son. And forever I'm going to live in eternity with the one who saved me. The one who took that beating for me. The one who got the crown of thorns kicked on his head for me. Because his love kept him on that cross. And when he opened his eyes, he saw me. And I thank God for that.
Amen.
This is why I strive. You know why? And I'm not being cruel, trying to be mean, but not one of you in here would forgive me the way Jesus Christ did.
That's right. You got it.
Just tell him. That's the truth. And that includes my wife, and I tell her that. Why wouldn't I love him more then? Why wouldn't I love him for what he'd done for me? He accepted me. He died for me. He gave up his life when I was that nasty old wretched person out there on the street. He gave his life for me. Why wouldn't this mean something to me? Why wouldn't doing what it says mean something to me? I'm just saying, you know, it's a disease that we have in America, that we have in the churches today, that people see, they get up and they look in that mirror, and go, oh, I don't like what I see, and they never look at it again. God, every time you open that Bible, this is why it's important to study. Every time you open that Bible, he's showing you a little bit about yourself. Don't run from it. Face that thing. I know it hurts. I know it's painful. I know it's hard. How do I know? Because I've been there. I still go through it. It's hard to have to stand up against family and tell them, listen, Jesus is first. They look at you like you're a nutcase. But you win them over. They'll get over it. Listen to me. I'm just telling you the things that work for me and my family. I'm just telling you, God has given us this stuff. He's taught us these things. Why? We get the benefits of it. How much happier is our life? I just looked at Amy and said, my goodness, Amy. Just a few short years ago, do you remember the abuse? Do you remember that nasty old person that you called the husband? Do you remember the things that I wanted to try and do and force you into? Do you remember the times that I put my hand on you? Remember the time my son was afraid of me? Remember those times? Lord, please, never let that disease touch my family of compromise. You know what? What's it say? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I know you can't do it on your own. But you know what Romans 12:1 says? By the mercies of God.
Amen.
Do you know he'll have mercy on you? He will get you through it. He will teach you if you're willing to learn. How far are you willing to go with it? How serious are you with this thing? Is it serious yet? Is it a life and death situation to you yet? Because God can bring you to that point if he really has to. But he's saying, hey, come on. Come on, let's get this right. Please. It says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man, ready? This man shall be blessed in his deed. Woo! Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for what you're doing in me and my family's life. Thank you for the things that are good and bad. Remember, he says, be thankful in all things. I wasn't thankful. But I tell you what, he reminds me how thankful I really should be. He lets me know on a daily basis of where I could be today.
Yeah.
Where could I be? Let's see. Yesterday we were coming home from her dad's. Guess who's in front of me? Bikers. The Vietnam Vet Bike Club. The very ones that beat me half to death. They could kill me. I could be in a grave today. How about doing prison the rest of my life? That's where I'd be. How about losing my beautiful family that I have sitting there? That means something to me. That God will look down, open his eyes and say, Dale Moore is mine.
Yes, sir.
He's mine. John 1. I'm just going to do a few minutes and then we'll take off. I just want to hit that thing that I left off with. The funny thing is I had that notes right here with me. I just was overpassing it, but I want to hit that thing, John 1, that comes out of the Hebrew, the book of Hebrew. So I'm going to go to John 1, and I'm going to read that first. John 1. Everybody there, except for me? All right, we read last week where it says that Jesus Christ, go with me to Hebrews 13:10. That's just going to be easier for me to start there. Hebrews 13:10. Jesus Christ came down, he became the sacrifice. Hebrews 13:10, and I'm going to read a few verses here. It says, we have an altar, wherefore they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, which blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, so we know where it says there, where Jesus therefore also, this happened to Jesus Christ. This very thing happened. Then I'm going to, let me just finish this. Wherefore also he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Turn with me if you would to Leviticus 4. Let's just show you here where Jesus Christ fulfills this. I'm going to show you where it's at. He fulfills Leviticus 4 and 9. I mean, there's two of them, but Leviticus 4 explains it a little bit better. Leviticus 4, and I'm going to show you where Paul's talking about in Hebrews 13. Here. Leviticus 4, 1 through 3, it says, the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath and among the sons of Levi and their families by the house of their fathers from 30 years old and upward and 50 years old. I'm in the wrong place. I'm reading something way, I'm in numbers. Dang. My fingers are sticky up here. 1 through 3, it says, and said, spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a soul sin through the ignorance against the commandments of the Lord, concerning these things ought to be done, and shall do against any of them. If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, and let him bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish, unto the Lord for a sin offering. Now go down to verse 11. It says, and the skin of the bullock and all his flesh with his head and with his legs and his innards and his dung, even the whole bullock should carry forth without the camp unto a clean place, whereas the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out and they shall be burnt. Now go with me to verse 21. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp, and burn him as he burned the first bullock, as a sin offering for the congregation. So that sin offering, Jesus Christ fulfilled. Now you can go up and you can look. Look up, there's some things. I got sweat all over. I can't even see out of them. You can look up prophecies that Jesus Christ fulfilled, but they don't even give you a quarter of the ones that he really fulfilled. And they won't mention one like this. They won't mention when he becomes. It says, now if you read Leviticus, it says all sacrifices have to be salted. Jesus Christ did become that. You look it up. It's in there. Okay, it's in there. So they leave all the important stuff out. Now Jesus Christ, when he came, he said what? He said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill.
Amen.
So if he came to fulfill the law and the prophets, that's a whole lot he's got to do. Well, they only name a few of them because they think they know what they're talking about. These are the King James Bible Believers, Bible Defenders. They have no clue what their own Bible says.
Okay?
I'll just say that because I believe it, because I study my Bible and God shows me things that these people have no clue about. Not even an inkling. And all they have to do is stop being lazy, stop reading the commentaries, stop getting your copyrighted messages, and read your Bible and study. God wants to show us this study to show yourself proven unto God. For a workman. That sounds like work to me. If you think it's easy just to sit down and study all the time, no, it's not. Listen, you'll never find time, so make time.
Yeah.
You'll never find time, so make time. And I mean make. Don't care if you have to get up a half hour earlier. Don't care if you got to go to bed 20 minutes later. You will have to find that, or get that time and make it.
Yeah.
Because you'll never have time. Everything will keep you away from it. I'm just telling you, those are the things that you learn. You should learn those things because God, he wants us to study. He wants us to get in there. He wants us to see. I mean, what a fascinating thing when you start learning about all the thatchets and all this that's in the tabernacle. And they stand, every single one of them stand for something different. And how the skin is dyed different colors and it means different things. I mean, there's so much to it. I could stand up here for days explaining just the badger skins and the thatchets. The tabernacle. I'm telling you, there's so much behind it. And so the Lord gave us that, and he wants us to go in there and study it. And it's fascinating when you see things. And when you see Paul talking, you know, you used to hear the pastor all the time, and I'd hear him and go, yeah, I'm sure, okay, yeah, But he was so right, because Paul, I mean, if there's anybody who hits the Old Testament laws, it's Paul.
Yes.
He goes into it. And he knew what he was talking about, because you can pull it. You know, I just showed you. Paul just pulled that out of Hebrews 13. He pulled that out of Leviticus 4 and Leviticus 9. He pulled it right out of there. He said, why? Because that sin offering, that's what Jesus became. He was burnt. Was he burnt inside the camp? Was Jesus burnt inside the camp? No, he was burnt without. He went to hell. He brought your sins to hell. That's what was happening to that bullock for a sin offering. You see? And there's so much more. It goes on and on. I didn't get into the whole thing because I could stay on that for a very long time. Just in those verses in Hebrews 13 and Leviticus 4. I mean, it goes to a whole new level. God will bring you down a hallway. You think you're going to turn one way, and I'm telling you, he'll bring you another.
Yeah, that's right.
but anyway, God's been good. So let me just say this. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And I'm just showing you now that the flesh can do nothing for you. The flesh. Jesus Christ had to come down and conquer the flesh. He came down here and he walked amongst us. But yet without sin, the Bible says. Why? Because now he understands. Let me read another one for you. Now I'll go. John 17:1 says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes into heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. You see? He had to come down and conquer that flesh for you. He's got power over all of it. So let me continue on. He says that he should give eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for the eternal life.
Literally.
To as many as thou hast given him. Jesus has power over flesh. None have an excuse. Jesus became like us without sin. Why? Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's like to be in the flesh. He's been touched with the things that we are. He understands what it's like to be a human. He came down here and understood. Now you have no excuse. excuse. Oh, he don't know what it's like. Yes, he does. I like to think Pastor Randall told Pastor one day, he was extremely tired. Pastor Randall said he just couldn't take it anymore. He came to the end of it. It's impossible, humanly impossible. And then Pastor Randall just prayed and said, Lord, you were worried by the well. And he said, just an amazing thing. He just felt like he had all the sleep in the world. But you see, Jesus felt weary. He was hungry. He walked. He got tired. He went through things. He was tempted of the devil like we are. So how can he not understand? He can. This thing's not old as for us today in 2015. Jesus Christ knows what's going on in your life. He understands what that is. It says that he's not for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, and that don't mean prideful.
Right.
Don't mean Jesus Christ ain't listening to your pride. You come boldly and say, Lord, you understand what I'm going through in the flesh, and I need your help. Here's your word. One of my biggest things I do when I'm struggling, I pray his word back to him. It's his word. He said it. And it says that he's not a man that he should lie. Well, Lord, you're not a man that you should lie. Then here's your word, and this is what I need help with. Don't come to him prideful, though.
Right.
You won't get it. You're going to waver? When you ask Jesus for something, you start wavering, forget it. That's what the word says. But anyway, it says that we may come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Why? Because he understands what it's like in the flesh. He has power over all of it. Do you trust him enough that when you're having trouble in your flesh that he can come through for you? It says he has all power over it, and then he came down and he understands it, yet without sin. Why? Because he can help you in your situations.
Right.
He can help you no matter what your problem is. He understands it. He's God Almighty. We believe he can give us the perfect word of God. We believe there's nothing he can't do except for lie or let you in heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm just telling you today, he understands what it's like to be in the flesh. He can help you. And he had to come down here in the flesh. That's how much he loved us. That he would come down and do such a thing. To me, that gets to me. It gets to my heart. It gets to the innermost part of who I am. When I think about, my goodness, that's what he done for the man. Wow. It amazes me. And it says here, Jesus knows what it's like to live in the flesh. He understands what we go through. And, I'll start here next week. I know everybody's hot. Next week, we're going to go into Isaiah 53 and show you that Jesus Christ really understands what it's like to be in the flesh. So just, if you could, pray on the week. Pray that the Lord will show you things that you might have going on in your life. Whatever, if something was preached here at the 10, the 11, or 1 o'clock, please, when you walk out them doors, take it home and get it right with God. He wants to. Because you know why I know that? Because he showed it to you today. He showed it to you today. He was merciful. And I'm done, Pastor.